Hi, everybody. This is Joe.
And this is Lisa.
And welcome to your cheap date for June 23rd, 2007.
On this week's show,
we are next to the vault.
Whatever that means. We'll find out what that means.
We'll get back to it. So we're sitting here on a lovely summer evening with the windows open. Hear that? There's birds chirping. Lisa's clinking her.
It's half gone now, and we the show's only started.
We're 58 seconds into the show. Lisa's drinking. What are you drinking?
It's a concoction of cranberry apple juice. I added a little vodka. That proved a bit bland, so I added some spiced rum.
Oh.
Now it's getting there. It's still a little bland. I think the juice wasn't cold, so I think it melted the ice too fast.
You think SoCo next time?
It's a little watered down.
A little Southern Comfort next time?
I think
time?
Colder juice next time would help.
Oh.
But yes, I think Southern Comfort, Southern Comfort and cider.
Hey.
You can't go wrong.
But you're not getting the effect of the cranberry then.
True. See, you know what? There's almost no cranberry in this anyway.
I'm sorry.
No.
Wasn't cranberry the biggest
yes,
word
it says
on the bottle?
Apple juice and cranberry.
Cranberry.
But it's like apple juice with a squeeze of cranberry.
And cranberries are pretty small.
Yeah, they're hard to squeeze, that's for sure.
You speak the truth, young lady.
Sorry.
Hey, there goes one of the neighbors.
Apple juice and a splash of cranberry, I guess.
I'm living a little bit cleaner than you tonight. I'm drinking a Sprecher root beer. This was actually introduced to me by listener Chris. And I had mentioned to our pal Steve and Maureen that this is my favorite root beer, and I went into the refrigerator the other day, and lo and behold, I realized that we had moved a bottle of this from the condo.
We didn't move the Southern Comfort, did we?
No. We know where the Southern Comfort went.
It went right down the drain.
No. Well, after a swig, maybe.
Well.
We were going through the liquor cabinet. We went through this when we cleaned out your apartment, too. It's like, anything left? Okay. And then, okay, into the recycle bin.
We must have turned out like 6 bottles that day. Whew.
Ooh. And we did bring stuff. We did bring stuff over here, though, so.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to throw out liquor's not cheap. It's hard to throw it out.
That's true.
And it lasts a long time.
Let that be a lesson to you kids.
Drink up.
Very quickly, let's talk about the awesome slushies you made.
Yeah, this is what we should be drinking. In fact, I might go get one during intermission.
Okay, let's hear it.
I had read a couple recipes on how to make fruit sorbet, in particular lemon sorbet. Basically, you make lemonade, you put it in the freezer. If you have an ice cream maker, you can do that too. But if you don't have an ice cream maker, you can put it in the freezer. When it gets mostly frozen, you sort of fluff it up with a fork, and then you let it freeze again. It doesn't freeze into a brick, because when you cook, you have to cook your lemonade, which I always do anyway, but when the sugar dissolves in the water, it makes a syrup. And syrup, I didn't realize this, but is actually like, once the sugar dissolves in a certain amount of water, it won't recrystallize, except in a sticky mass like syrup sometimes does, like
gotcha.
Maple syrup.
I'm with you.
But when you make a syrup, then the sugar is permanently dissolved. It won't recrystallize. So something about the syrup molecules as opposed to sugar and water molecules, the syrup keeps the water from freezing solid.
Okay.
I read this in our Cook's Illustrated cookbook, that's why a sorbet works. You have to cook the sugar. You have to add sugar because it's the syrup that keeps it from freezing.
Mm-hmm.
Alcohol also keeps it from freezing, so a lot of sorbet recipes call for a small amount. It doesn't cook off, but it's just a small amount of vodka or something to keep it slushy. If you've ever had like a bucket of margarita mix, It works that way. You add the tequila, and then it doesn't freeze. It just stays in that permanent slushy state.
Oh, okay.
In part due to the alcohol. So...
sounds good to me.
I made the lemon sorbet. Good stuff. You had left for Tokyo and left on the counter a huge watermelon. What was I going to do with a watermelon? So I cut it open.
I don't know. Have the neighbors over?
I cut it open, and it was kind of mealy. You know how watermelon gets.
Oh, yeah. It looked good when we bought it.
It probably was, but it had been sitting there a couple days. What are you going to do
with a mealy?
An 8-pound mealy watermelon? Here's what you do. You get out the blender.
Mm-hmm.
You pulverize that watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
You add sugar and make a sorbet. My misstep with the watermelon was I didn't add sugar. I had not yet read the syrup thing. I didn't add sugar because it was plenty sweet as it was. I basically just pulverized the watermelon and put it in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it froze like a brick, needless to say. That took a couple days because there was a lot of it, but it froze rock hard. So later I added some vodka and got it back to a slushy thing. So, come home a couple days later. Decide I want a drink. I'm going to try pouring some vodka over this lemon stuff. Scoop some out, pour some vodka over it, take a sip. Pretty tart, because I had made it actually stronger than I would normally make lemonade. It's too tart. Well, let's see how the watermelon turned out. Scoop some out, pour some vodka over it, take a sip. Awfully sweet, a little bit bland. You know what lemon and watermelon need?
What?
Watermelon and lemon. Mix the two together. Bingo.
This is like those commercials where you got chocolate in my peanut butter. You got peanut butter in my chocolate. The two great tastes.
It is. Watermelon and lemon together. Proportion to taste. You could do as much as half and half. But I think it's better with more like 1/3 lemon to 2/3 watermelon because the lemon is so much stronger. Beautiful.
Yeah.
So you make the sorbet. Did you follow how to make the sorbet?
I did.
You have to do the sugar even if the fruit is sugary.
I understand.
If you're going to do it with papaya or something like that.
I made a note.
I know you did. I'm speaking to our listeners who haven't heard this half a dozen times already. You have to cook your sugar and water, a cup of each together, to make the syrup. And I strongly recommend adding a little alcohol at the slush stage to keep it slushy. Mix it all up, keep it in the freezer. All you have to do is stir it and it turns back into a nice slush. Excuse me. Pour vodka over it to taste. I like a whole glass of vodka with a little slush floating in it, like a root beer float.
Sure.
But I'm a vodka fan. Other people prefer it a big cup of slush with a little vodka just sprinkled on it.
Mm-hmm.
And everywhere in between.
Yum.
It's better than it sounds. It sounds like a mess.
Oh, it was wonderful. And then we had pals Liz and Bob over.
It got the Liz and Bob seal of approval, that's for sure.
Oh, yes.
It was funny because at first I scooped out glasses for everybody and I made it like root beer float style.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was standing there with their mouths sort of puckered up. Wow. It really is powerful. And then you were all looking at me like I was looking at Emma when she made that
honey cake.
Misguided honey cake.
Right. But I'll tell you, by sip number 4.
That's the beauty of it.
It was like all the lights came on and everything like came up in Technicolor. It was awesome. I mean, it was like, yes.
An hour later, you guys were begging for more slush.
And we were out of slush. We killed it.
And we killed a whole bottle of vodka.
Oh, God. That's why I don't remember a lot of that day.
It took like, oh, come on. They were here for like 5 hours.
That's true. I do remember going over to the Jewel to get some stuff for banana boats.
Oh, that's another thing. That's a dessert, no alcohol involved.
And we'll talk about that next time.
But
so
we're
the slushies.
Here to talk about a restaurant, actually.
We're here to talk about a couple of things.
And
we just got back from, can I launch into it?
Yes, please.
We just got back from it's a tradition now because we did it twice. No, it doesn't have to be a tradition. We went to Galena, Illinois again.
It's a good tradition.
Which is a touristy little town out in the northwest corner of Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
About 3 hours from here. We stayed at a place called the Bel Air Mansion. Jan and Lorraine, our hosts, were lovely and wonderful.
They really were.
They really were. They made some wonderful, wonderful breakfast for us.
And some meat-free breakfast for me.
That's right. They said they asked you if anyone had any special dietary things. dietary requirements. And Lisa said, well, I'm a vegetarian.
Rather bashfully.
And Jan, the husband, said, oh, yeah, no, don't worry, I'll make you an omelet. And he made you an omelet. Made you like a mushroom and cheese omelet.
A wonderful mushroom and cheese omelet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we had a, that was Sunday morning, Father's Day. We also had a, there was a souffle. It was a bacon, egg,
bacon
and cheese.
Bacon cheddar souffle.
Oh.
Yeah.
And some pumpkin bread. And then on Saturday morning, we had banana bread and...
Pecan French toast.
Pecan French toast. Oh, God. Amazing.
And sausage.
And the cool thing that they did with the bed and breakfast that we've stayed at before, this is the only place I've ever stayed where your hosts give you a card with the recipes that they made on it.
You know, which is a little bit daring of them. I mean, you might consider it a trade secret, but then again, they probably get it from a friend or off the internet or something.
Exactly.
Nobody ever copyrights a recipe except Toll House. But the bed and breakfast recipes are great because they're designed for big groups of people who are coming in and out at different times, perfect for entertaining. If you have people over, even just a couple people over, and you want to make them breakfast, you do not have time to stand there and make pancakes and waffles and eggs and God knows what. So the recipes you get from bed and breakfast are perfect for big groups.
Right, because you can do a lot of prep time. You can do all the prep ahead of time.
Right. Most of them are you mix it up the night before and you pop it in the oven that morning.
Uh-huh. So it's great. So check them out, the Bel Air Mansion in Galena. Wonderful time. Very, very hospitable and
yes,
good people.
Truly, yes, truly in their hearts, hospitable people.
Yes. Okay. So then we went, as we described in our show last year, downtown Galena is a couple of streets of... Where was I going with this? Oh, so there are all kinds of little shops. There's antique stores. There's chocolate. Some stores, really good. Some stores, a little touristy and expensive. Mm-hmm. You can get, it's the only place you can get a Gitter Done t-shirt as well as some French milled soap, right?
Right.
We wanted to mention a place that we saw, that we visited and really enjoyed, which was the Galena Canning Company, which is right down there on Main Street.
Oh, my gosh. Samples.
Samples.
Let's talk samples.
Everything in the store is out for samples. Well, first of all...
That's not quite true, but they have many, many things. Yes. And that's where their genius is. We walk in. The first thing we see is a crock pot full of meatballs bubbling in barbecue sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Did you try one?
I did not.
I didn't either.
They weren't ready when we got there. We got there right when they opened.
We moved along to a whole row of jams and jellies. Some of them just regular jams and jellies. Some of them jalapeno jams and jellies poured over cream cheese with crackers. We picked up the strawberry jalapeno, or the strawberry hot pepper.
Right. I can't wait to smear that on something.
With some cream cheese. Amazing.
And I might do brie as opposed to cream cheese.
That's right. You said brie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did cream cheese, but I think brie would work.
And the rind with brie always trips me up. But anyway, we walked around there, and then they had a bunch of salsas, pestos, chocolate sauce, more fruit preserves.
Oh, yeah.
And then we came around. What else? They had some marinara sauces.
Barbecue sauces.
Barbecue
marinades.
Sauces. We couldn't try everything. I mean, we would have been... we didn't want to be those people. And it would have taken all day. But we did have some good finds. We picked up the strawberry jalapeno jelly. Mm-hmm. And what do you have in front of you?
I have a jar of Baja salsa. Fat-free Baja salsa.
Oh, you know what? That's like saying fat-free lollipops. Well, no.
Zero cholesterol.
I mean, they are by nature fat.
This stuff is really good. It's got cilantro. It's got lemon and lime juice, jalapeno, serrano, habanero, Anaheim peppers. Oh.
A lot of really authentic pepper.
Oh.
Joe's sniffing the salsa.
And you know what this would go really well on? This would go really well on a cheese omelet.
Oh, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. I might whip up an omelet when we're done here. Just to pour it on.
I think the sweetness is especially well suited to an omelet.
Yes. So that was good. We also bought two kinds of pesto.
Oh. One was a classic basil pesto they called Old World Pesto. We've become big pesto fans here at the Cheap Date
headquarters.
Yeah. The kids love it. They love bow tie pasta, sort of sautéed with pesto and Parmesan cheese and a little olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
So we go through a lot of pesto. We picked up a basil pesto and a sun-dried tomato pesto, both of which light years beyond what we've gotten from the grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, we're not connoisseurs of pesto at this point, but we may be as of right now.
There. We're getting there. So that's great stuff.
Just so jam-packed with flavor. Just a teaspoon of this stuff. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. And these guys are on the web, so check the show notes. You'll see a link for this because you can buy this stuff on the web as well. So if there's anything, and if you do go to their website and you think that you want to order something from there and you have a question about it, I'm sure you can email them. They seem like really nice people who run it.
Mm-hmm.
But email us because we tasted most of the stuff in the store.
That's true. We might very well have tried it.
And we could tell you because almost everything we had, well, pretty much everything was really, really good there.
The only thing that didn't impress me, and I'll just make it quick, was the espresso chocolate sauce. It was called espresso chocolate sauce, and it tasted like...
Imagine that.
That's what I'm saying. That's what it was called. What would you guess from that? That it would be a super dark, rich, hot fudge. That's what it was. It was like an ice cream style hot fudge that you would warm up and pour on ice cream. Tasted to me a lot like Smucker's. Not in that it was low quality, because I like Smucker. Well, actually like the Oberweis hot fudge.
Gotcha.
It was good, but it was very sweet. I expected it to be much, much darker.
Oh, okay.
Other than that, everything I tasted there was fabulous.
Yeah.
And that was good. It was just a matter of taste. Mm-hmm. I was expecting it to be darker.
Okay. Well, good. Well, thank you.
That's all. Sorry.
That's okay. Let's talk about dinner.
Because we are, after all, a restaurant show, and we
it
just
took
spent
us this long.
20 minutes talking about things other than restaurants.
I know. It took us this long to get around to it, but
then
here
again,
we are.
Car talk is a car show, ostensibly.
What are you doing? Going to Billings, Montana?
Okay, let's not go down
Don't
that path.
Don't drive like my brother.
So, we were there one evening for dinner, and we decided to make it worth it.
Oh, yes. Thanks to some of the people that we met who were staying at the B&B with us. Not That's with us, but there were other there were other guests who were staying
in
at
the same B&B. The young man sitting across the breakfast table from me was bragging about a 38-ounce prime rib. And that was all we needed to hear.
And how he had to go to bed at like 7 o'clock because he was in a meat coma.
Bless his carnivorous heart.
That's right.
He told us about Backstreet in, needless to say, Galena.
Right.
It's on the back street.
Right. It's on that back street.
That back street.
Which is actually called...
Oh, that, like, back street.
If you've been to Galena, you know exactly what we're talking about. There's a main street, and then there's a street that kind of goes around.
The street you park on is Water Street. The street you walk on is, like, Front Street or Main Street.
Main Street.
The street in between is Commerce Street. That's where Back Street is.
Right.
But seriously, if you drive up and down these three streets, you will find it. It's not complicated. Or you could ask probably anybody at any shop.
You won't miss
it. It's not a big place.
And this episode is called Next to the Vault because...
Oh, yeah, that. Back Street is a converted bank.
Right. It was the
what do they have to say?
It was the Galena State Bank.
And this, we asked for a different table, but originally the table we got was right next to a bank vault.
Yeah. And we didn't ask for a different table because we were next to a vault. We asked for a different table. We asked for a different table
because
we were between
a huge Italian family and a party with a baby.
Right. Which is fine.
This
we have
was
nothing
kind of
to
our
do
special
with
night.
Exactly. So they moved us, and they were very nice about it. They were very friendly.
Yes, yes. It's there's no point taking a table that you really don't want. Let some other.
Well, we had a reservation.
Pushover.
And this is nothing against Backstreet, but one of my points about dining at a restaurant is that if I make a reservation and we have a reservation, I don't want to be seated at a lousy table. I'm just saying that's my general rule. I don't want to be seated at a table.
Sure.
As if I had just walked off the street. Now, there are those who would say, if you slip the host or hostess a 20, then, you know, you'll get the top table or whatever. But you know what?
We didn't want the top table either. We just didn't want this particular one.
We didn't want to be between... We wanted... Actually, what it was is the table was also kind of long, and we wouldn't be able to hear each other because the people to my left and the people to your left were just big tables.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. But anyway, so... Anyway, it's a converted bank. So when you walk in the main dining room, you look, there's a big vault door.
And it looks like a bank.
Yeah.
I mean, there aren't like teller windows or anything.
Piles of money.
But if you think about it, yeah, that would be cute.
Oh, look, I found a quarter.
But if you think about it, you realize that it's a bank. But let's talk about the food, because that's why we were there, not for the vault.
Okay, let's go.
Oh, that was an interesting feature.
Let her rip. We started with...
Well, it's a stakeout. Oh, yeah.
Actually, yeah, this is steakhouse.
But yeah, let's go chronologically. What did we start with?
We started with wine.
Oh, naturally.
We started with a half bottle of Estancia Pinot Noir.
Go half bottle, go Pinot.
This was really, really good. It's a California Pinot. What, we got like 2.5 glasses out of it total, would you say? Maybe three?
Maybe three, because maybe we each had a glass and a half.
Right. So we started with the Estancia, and that was a big plus.
It was great by itself, and then it was also great with food.
Mm-hmm. And then it was off to appetizers.
Joe had this crazy idea that he wanted to get the crispy house-cut Vidalia onions with 5 chili cream. That sounded kind of crazy to me.
Call me nuts.
But what they called them were onion strings.
Is that what they called them?
Yeah, not on the menu, but that's what the waitress called them, and that's what they call them here. So, yeah, they were little shredded Vidalia onions, breaded and fried, obviously. But this 5 chili cream was heavenly.
Yeah.
It was exactly that.
I've tasted something similar to that. I think maybe at the Yard House we might have had something similar
to
it.
That sounds familiar.
The sauce was similar.
A creamy chili sauce. It was wonderful.
But these were the onions that... places like Hackney's, which I think is a place we need to review, it's not in a block, but it's like a big pile of fried onions.
Yes, it's not like a blooming onion.
Right. And you know, it was surprisingly not greasy.
That's true.
It was very good.
Then we moved on to salads.
We had their house dressing.
But more importantly...
The main dish.
Entrees. What did you get, you crazy beef-eating man, you?
I was in a total mood for a steak. Without any...
And yet Joe's not really the...
ifs, or buts, or whatever.
Joe's not really the 38-ounce prime rib show-off...
That's true.
...kind of guy.
I had the peppercorn filet mignon with blue cheese butter.
Blue cheese butter.
Imagine, if you will.
Why does... I can't even imagine combining blue cheese and butter.
It's like blue cheese. It's something Homer Simpson would have. Mmm. This was...
Deep fried ice cream with beer sauce.
Exactly. With chocolate. This was a filet which was... rubbed or rolled or something with these peppercorns, and then it was cooked to perfection. I ordered it medium. I think solid medium is what I ordered it, and it was deliciously tender. Imagine, if you will, a filet mignon. So you know it's roughly this big. I'm holding this up to the microphone.
The magic of radio.
And exactly the same shape and diameter, exactly the same shape, is this piece of blue cheese butter, which is like having a big hunk of blue cheese sitting right on top
like
of the thing.
It was like a slab.
It was a slab. It exactly was. So,
but it was creamy. It wasn't hard.
So I didn't eat, I didn't like, I kind of like portioned that out because that could be overpowering, but it was absolutely delicious. And as my side with that, my mouth is watering just thinking about this. As a side, I had the garlic smashed potatoes. Also heavenly. Very good.
Wonderful.
And I believe there was some asparagus on my plate too, but I was more... frankly, everything else kind of overpowered it. So that was wonderful.
Now.
You.
What is your vegetarian friend to do at a steakhouse?
Hmm.
First of all, I'm struggling with being a vegetarian. I still eat meat very, very seldom, especially compared to how much I used to eat it before.
Right.
But I crave it. And it's more and more just a pain to not eat it. but I'm working through that. So, I did have a bite of Joe's filet with blue cheese, and...
And you lived to tell the tale, most yes. importantly.
Probably more than a bite would have knocked me over. It was that good. What I had, and typically I exclude fish and shellfish from my diet, but I'm a lot less hardcore about that. Now, we called and asked, do you have stuff for vegetarians? And they were like, oh yeah, we have like seafood and fish
hey,
and chicken.
We got salad, we got...
Chicken!
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they did not have much for vegetarians. If you are a vegetarian, I'll just tell you that straight up. Unless you wanted, like, an iceberg wedge salad, which was not going to do it sitting across from a guy with a filet mignon with blue cheese. So.
A handsome guy with filet mignon and blue cheese, I might
that's
add.
Right. So, I ordered the nearest non-red meat equivalent to a steak.
Which was?
Black and white sesame ahi tuna seaweed salad wasabi cream teriyaki reduction.
Gosh.
This was amazing. It was probably like a 6 or 8 ounce hunk of ahi tuna. Seared rare and encrusted in black and white sesame seeds, as ahi tuna is very often served.
Mm-hmm.
And then sliced into small pieces. And it did have that it had that great steak taste and texture that good ahi tuna does. What the heck is seaweed salad, wasabi cream, and teriyaki reduction? I had no idea. The seaweed salad was, well, seaweed. Maybe like, maybe blanched, maybe parboiled. I guess those two are about the same. But it was lightly cooked, but it was cool when it arrived on my plate. I didn't expect to really like it, but I did. It had just a very light lettucey, grassy kind of flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Was not seaweedy. Wasn't especially fishy, I didn't think. Wasabi cream. I know what wasabi is, but I've never had wasabi cream. This looked like whipped butter, but it had and it was white, but it had just a little of the zing of wasabi. The teriyaki reduction was exactly what I would have figured out if I had thought about it. It was a smooth teriyaki sauce, very, very concentrated. A few drops of it were a lot of teriyaki flavor. So I would get a little bit of seaweed on my fork, a bite of ahi tuna, just a dab of wasabi cream, and a drip of teriyaki reduction, and oh my gosh.
The proverbial perfect bite.
Sushi party in my mouth.
Yeah.
It was amazing. The wasabi cream and the teriyaki reduction actually made it really easy to get it really perfectly seasoned. Wasabi is so powerful that it's hard to get just the right amount. But this wasabi cream was diluted, so it was perfect. It was very easy to use. And it was amazing. I've never had ahi tuna so much like in its element. I mean, usually you get ahi tuna. I've had it on a salad. I've had it like on a plate with some garlic mashed potatoes. But with the seaweed and the wasabi and the teriyaki reduction, it was just really in its own world.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so much better for that. Now, I had to order a potato to go with it. So I got very incongruously the sweet potato souffle. Which had nothing to do with anything. And I only ate a couple bites of it because we had had a ton of food, but it was wonderful.
It was delicious.
It was very good. It was cooked with a little brown sugar, I think. It was whipped up to be fluffy, cooked with a little brown sugar, and sprinkled with pecans, and it was delicious. But it was so sweet and rich, I can't imagine having it with anything but, like, ham.
Yeah.
Or a pork chop.
Right. Something a little bit more comfort foody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, man, I would love to have it with a pork chop. Let's go get a pork chop.
Okay, we're heading out. Pork chop
so,
time.
That was it. Amazing ahi tuna.
So it was good all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to go back there.
Perhaps we will. And if you'd like to go there, it's back street at 216 South Commerce Street, which is that back street.
Oh, that street,
yeah.
Like in the back.
And again, I know we said this last year, if you're looking for a nice little romantic getaway, in fact, another couple who was staying at the bed and breakfast, got engaged while we were there.
Oh, we were so happy for them. Uh-huh.
So that was very nice as well. So that is Backstreet and Galena, also the B&B we stayed at. We covered slushies. We covered a whole bunch of stuff. So I think that's going to do it for today for these folks. We filled their ears with enough stuff. If people want to get a hold of us, how do they do that?
Preferably by email, which is dish@cheapdateshow.com.
You can also leave us a voicemail at 206-203-3283. And don't forget to also check out Discover Woodfield, our other podcast, which is going to be updated the 1st of July. And in fact, this weekend, we are going to be covering. Do you want to give folks a preview of what we're
going to
be doing?
Yeah, we're going to see the Schaumburg Flyers, our minor league baseball team.
Mm-hmm. They play right over here, just a couple miles from where we're sitting right
now.
And
I hear it's a really fun experience to go.
So we'll be going out there, so be sure to tune in to discoverwoodfield.com and check that out as well. I think you'll enjoy that. I think that's it.
That is all.
Okay, thanks for listening, everybody. We invite you to join us again in a fortnight. I still love saying that. And we'll talk to you next time.
Good night.
This podcast is a production of Cheap Date Media at cheapdatemedia.com.